So I've been off. I worked on Friday. I wasn't going to do the show Friday, but I did because LeBron had made his decision. Crowder was off Friday. Then I was off Monday and Tuesday. So I haven't spoken to you, Crowder, since LeBron decided to go to Philly. So I want to start there. It's been a few days. What are your thoughts? I didn't hear the show the last couple of days, yeah. So I'm sure you've broached it. But what were your thoughts when you heard that LeBron, and by the way, was doing the show with Solana and Gelb, and LeBron made his decision. It was about 11:30, if I remember, on Friday. That's when the news came out. And when we started the show at 2, I was submitting to them that I had a feeling you still wouldn't have known because you take your phone off. Yeah. And then, like, my thought was we could pretend that LeBron chose the Heat, start calling you, see if we can get a hold of you somehow and talk you into it. When did you find out LeBron chose Philly and what were your thoughts?
It was Friday night. And you're right.
Friday you night. Called me.
Yes. Right, I'm not locked in, man. I'm running with my family. That's I'm crazy. In Orlando. Yeah, and I'm Orlando. My daughter's playing in the end of summer AAU Adidas tournament. I'm working, and I think LeBron. I kept saying LeBron made it perfectly clear, like he wants to win another championship. And we talked about what he wants to do. I talked about the Cleveland bookend stuff, where like the end of your career and all. LeBron is trying to go get another championship, and I think the best roster that he could play with is Philly. I didn't think he was going to make it so obvious, but he said it, and it is what it is. I respect his decision. I don't know if it – I don't know how people look at it, but I respect what he did because, hey, listen, I'm 42 years old. I need to go win another chip before I retire. Let's get
it. I'll tell you what I hadn't considered, and now that it's all coming out and, you know, you're starting to get the postmortem on his decision, Rich Paul said on a podcast, I don't know if it was his or someone else's, essentially that why would he go to Miami again? He could never replicate the excitement and the fun. Even if it's great, it's going to pale in comparison. And I hadn't really thought of it from that angle. That makes sense to me. Which is why I also believe now he is not going to play his final season in Cleveland. Mm-hmm. I think he really has checked off L.A., Miami, and Cleveland. I've been there. I've accomplished championships. We've had fun. And so while most old people like myself don't like change, he seems to embrace the idea of something brand new. And he does want to win another ring. And Philly probably, you know, aside from San Antonio or the Knicks or Denver, like teams that really weren't in contention, Miami and Philly to me would be the easiest paths to get another ring. And I think because he had done Miami and in his mind, maybe, the only thing him returning to Miami could bring is people comparing it to the Big Three era and saying it didn't compare. The only thing he could do is kind of diminish the 4 years that he had here. I think it then became an easy decision. Philly's the place that I can go get another ring potentially.
And Hawk, and I know I'm a Heat fan. I know you're a Heat fan. I know Josh is a Heat fan. The better roster overall is Philly. And I think we have to understand that Maxi,
the biggest star,
is Giannis.
Is in Miami.
Giannis and Bam, and that's it. Like I don't want to badmouth anybody else. Like Tim Hardaway Jr. and all those guys, Davion Mitchell. But you're looking at Jaylen Brown, number 7 in MVP voting last year. You're looking at VJ Edgecombe. You're looking at Tyrese Maxey, and you're looking at Joel Embiid if he's healthy, and we know the quotes are always around if he's healthy. That's an all-star team, bro. And I think that's what LeBron looked at and said, let me go and be the number 4. He's the 4 on this team. You got 2 guards. Him and Jaylen Brown are in the midcourt, and Joel Embiid is in the front court. That's
it's an all-star team.
Roster.
It is. It's an all-star team. I haven't talked to you about it, Josh, since I've been off the air. What were your thoughts?
I was definitely surprised that he picked Philadelphia. It seemed like all indications were, I mean, Pat Riley was essentially doing a victory lap before the announcement happened. I know Steve Kerr had a moment too a week or so ago where somebody had asked him on the street, and he seemed pretty confident they were getting LeBron. I felt like LeBron might not have liked how it ended in Miami and maybe wanted to potentially make amends for that and play with the best player amongst the options that he had at, you know, this obviously Steph Curry overall, I would probably put above Giannis. But at this point, Giannis is the better player of the options that he had available to play with. So in that sense, I was surprised. I was really surprised it was Philadelphia. The basketball optics of it makes sense. The basketball reasons. I do think it's a bit more debatable on which roster is better.
There you go, Xavier Edwards.
Crowder, did you
base
text him?
Base is loaded. Xavier Edwards just drives in two. We got a tie ball game, folks. 6-6 Marlins in the middle of a two-game win streak have just knotted the game at 6 after being down 6-0.
I mean,
text Xavier Edwards. Crowder, you have his number, don't you?
I do. I don't know if he's going to respond at this moment.
Yeah. Just to button that up, though, I think it is a bit more debatable on which roster is the better fit for LeBron, Philadelphia, or Miami. I think he might have been a better fit with the Heat, but I think depth-wise, Philadelphia might have a bit more. I think it was a neck-and-neck decision, and I don't believe Rich Paul when Rich Paul said it was Golden State or Philadelphia. I don't think Pat Riley is parading around acting like they're going to get LeBron. I don't think all the indications that the Heat were leaking publicly that they thought they were getting him would be happening if it legitimately came down to Golden State or Philadelphia.
But Josh, that thought, the fit or the better roster, obviously, like I said, VJ Edgecombe and Jaylen Brown and Maxey and Joel Embiid, it's a better starting five to add LeBron into. When people say fit, me and Solana have been back and forth about this. The fit of it, LeBron can fit anywhere. He can play 1-5 whenever he wants to. Like the fit thing, I don't really get when you talk about LeBron.
LeBron would have been more important to the Heat than he will be to Philly, which I think is what people are saying the fit is, that they needed him. He would have played a significant role. And Philly, he can play more of a complacent 4-5, but he could do whatever he wants, like you said. But I think that might be the hiccup on it. Like that, I think he would have been a better basketball fit for Miami because Miami needed him more. Yeah. Philadelphia would have been fine with or without him.
Okay, 42, do you want to be needed or do you just want to hang out and figure it out?
I think playing with Giannis would have been something that he would have appreciated. But when I think it through about, hey, I'm not revisiting any of the places you guys made that a story. You thought that I wanted to bookend my career in Cleveland. You thought I wanted to make amends in Miami. And he's probably like, make amends. Like, if I need to make amends with someone, it's Pat Riley. But he's already told you we've made amends. Like, I don't need to make amends to the Miami fan base. I went to 4 straight titles and won 2 of them. Like, I'm just saying, like, we watched all this play out through the prism of being Miami Heat fans. But now that it's all said and done, I can kind of see it from his point of view, which is, yeah, I'm not going to go back to Miami. I like, look at everything I did there. Why would I come back there? You know, it's a beaten down fighter trying to gain one more paycheck. He's like, why would I go do that and maybe diminish the 4 seasons that I had there when I can go somewhere completely new that is a stacked roster, probably see some postseason success and create a new chapter when everyone thought the book was over. So I get it.
I do think there's something too to what Solana said on Friday, which is I think the idea of being the first player in NBA history to win an NBA title with 4 different teams is also a very appealing thing for LeBron. And I don't know if you would want to call it ego, but just his mindset. I think that's a big part of it too. I think that's valid.
Yeah.
And
the number 1 and number 2, he's never going to catch Jordan in some people's minds, but to check that box off, to be the first player to win with 4, Josh, pretty to your impressive point, it's very impressive. And if he can go and be a great piece of this already amazing roster and do it, like, I think that would be something. My son, Little Chan, asked me, Daddy, if LeBron goes and wins a championship with Philly, can he get it? Can he jump Jordan in your mind? Because we have this conversation all the time. And I had to think about it. I was like, if he goes to Philly at 42 and wins another chip, I might have to start getting off my Jordan point.
if he gets to six, right, if he goes there and wins two, the other thing about not just winning four with different teams, but the only four teams you've ever played for, like to win a chip every single stop in your career, like.
Hulk, I might throw out some of my six rings. I might have to get some bronze.
Tell you what, man.
Well, what would be the more impressive feat for you guys? The winning the six titles?
For me, Jordan, it's MJ or... six out of six. Okay. Now, if LeBron were to play at a high level for another 5 years, 6 years, I'd have to maybe consider. Like, if he's able to hit six or seven, then you really have to take into consideration the longevity of his career, the number of championships, and the different places that he'd done it.
Hawk, you set a high bar. If LeBron gets to six, I think I have to reevaluate my thought of Jordan LeBron.
If he does get to six in two more seasons and he's tied with MJ, then you really have a much, to me, more accurate debate. I'm still probably going to side with the six for six rather than the six for 11 or 12, even though going to 11 or 12 or however many he's gone to is probably just as impressive. I don't know. I'm MJ. I mean, I you're going to find very few people my age who are going to move off the MJ is the GOAT argument ever.
Yes, but it's a guaranteed 1-2 now. But if he goes and wins two more, I'm starting to swing.
If he wins one with Philadelphia, much like how we saw New York embrace this Knicks team, LeBron is set for life with that Philly fan base as well. If he gets one, I don't know how much that factored into it, but like that market of fans who we know cannot at times be the nicest group of people would embrace that guy and he'd have them in his corner for the rest of his life. Forever.
I mean, that's, you know, Jalen Brunson, right, with the Knicks. Like, yeah. Jalen Brunson will never be able to do anything wrong in New York.
That was it. We've got another story that we didn't forget about. No, LeBron to Philly.
You decided?
I told you, I appreciate you not calling me Friday with everybody else going, hey, nice job there. LeBron's in Philly now. Hell, nobody saw it coming, by the way. I thought every insider, good job by LeBron, number one, but I thought every insider, and this is what pisses me off when everybody wants to be the first to a story. And everybody thinks they have an inside or body language or comments that are made by the agent trying to find a little something or a player that played with him. He didn't give anybody anything. And then everybody, by the way, the last few days, everybody's going, he's going to Miami. It's a mistake. Or, no, we didn't get him either. And so I don't know what your thoughts were, Dave, but I don't even know if we were second. It doesn't matter. But I do love the fact that everybody said, his agent, I said, once they got Jaylen Brown to Philadelphia, that kind of changed things a little bit.
Executive of the year is Brad Stevens of Boston. He's given Philadelphia, that he made him contender. Gave him Jaylen Brown. And now, because of that, you have to put LeBron James in that trade, too.
I love everybody still trying really hard to find something bad about Jaylen Brown.
Well,
his mouth gets him in trouble. He talks. He's the smartest guy.
Evidently, his analytics are awful. His on-off. You know, they have the on-off. On the court, off the court.
Why am I having trouble? I get it. But why am I having trouble when somebody comes out and says he's the seventh best guy on a team?
Well, that makes no sense. But here's what makes sense. Look what Philadelphia had to give up, which was a bad contract on a guy who's hurt half the time. They had to give up nothing for him. So that's and he was the Boston's perhaps top rival with the Knicks and the Heat. I mean, so that tells you that Brad Stevens could get nothing for him around the league. So the league sees something's wrong with Jaylen Brown. While you and I are, I agree with you. And you know who else didn't see anything wrong with him? LeBron.
Yeah.
Because he's going there.
LeBron just, you know, LeBron, I think LeBron said, all right, nights that I'm not going to be able to play and Embiid's not going to be able to play, we still got a nice three guys. We got a better three guys when Embiid is out with sore knees and I can't play because he's not playing 70 games. He's going to be in the 60s. And he goes, there's going to be nights we're going to be sitting down in Miami after we played Orlando the night before, and Embiid's going to be sitting next to us. And with Brown and Maxey, we're going to have a good chance to still win.
They will be a tough team, obviously, to beat. But I'm just curious how it's going to work. Jaylen Brown, what do you just say? My favorite year in Boston, because he was the man, right?
I'm not bothered by that. I'm not bothered by that.
Here's what I'm saying. Now he's going to Philadelphia. He's probably the fourth option on Philadelphia right now. LeBron's number one. Embiid's two. Maxey, whose team it was the last few years, is number three.
Everybody's numbers are going down, Dave.
Is everybody going to accept? It's going to take a while to shake that out.
All I know is I saw Jaylen Brown with some guy at the airport. I don't know who it was. And he's going, we got to get LeBron. And they were doing a little shtick back and forth. And I thought, okay, that's cool to hear. I think they all want to play, no matter who you are.
Everybody likes LeBron. Would love to play.
There's very few guys all these guys look up to. I have learned that. I have learned, even with Dolphin players through the years, I realized that Tyreek and Jaylen was a pain in the ass when he was here too. I realized that they only respect certain people and coaches. They look around and they only respect certain people. And if you're not on their level or better or done something, they're never going to respect you. And you're never, you know, they'll chew up new coaches. This is my feeling. And I just use that as an example, but I think.
Are you putting Nick Nurse on alert in Philadelphia?
I think LeBron looked at that and said, okay,
he's won a title. He won a title in Toronto. So,
but I think LeBron, what's somebody going to come in and, I mean, he's going to get instant respect. He's going to be on the whenever he tells them in the huddle and he says something or those guys, they're going to be like little kids. Hey, man, when he leaves, and I heard a lot of trash, you know, we got certain guys and the politics and the sports are coming together more and more every friggin' day. But at the end of the day, when he's gone, like Tiger's gone, there's nobody in the league going to be close to LeBron. These guys come along, and MJ, when he left, don't get me wrong, the guys after him did a nice job, but they're not, the league just had a little hangover there. I thought when MJ left, I don't know about you, I saw it on NBC up close with the ratings, because MJ used to get NFL ratings when he was playing basketball.
That's why he wanted a cut of the ratings when he came back from baseball.
He should have for stuff that he did.
But yeah, LeBron's been the face of the league for what, 10, 15 years? I mean, you know, I saw a stat. He's played with 37% of all-time NBA players. His career has gone so long that he's played with 37%. So these guys, a lot of them grew up watching LeBron.
Well, listen, he's going to be under a microscope because he jumped on this team, so he's up for criticism.
Well, he's going to be – wherever he jumped on, he's going to be – yeah. Imagine if he came here, and I still think this was the best fit, basketball.
So so stuff has leaked out, whether you think it's fair. I can see him saying this, wasn't crazy about the bench or the depth of the team. I'm just saying.
Well, you could do that with Philadelphia. Who's behind Embiid?
Well, they got five or six guys.
Who's behind? No, they don't have a center behind Embiid. They don't have anybody you're going to say. You could say that about a lot of teams. The depth here.
Oh, you're not the only one to say that.
I think it's better than people are giving it credit for. I'm not saying it's great, but if they got LeBron, then they probably get Klay Thompson, and all of a sudden they're pretty good.
Well, listen, we're still in the running here. DeMar DeRozan and Klay Thompson will be interesting to see what happens. And I agree, though, if we would have had LeBron, probably be a little easier to get those guys. If he says, hey, come play with me, if it's love to have you on this team, and you go, oh, thank you. That's cool.
Should Heat fans be annoyed at LeBron? Do you feel like maybe the Heat were a little misled here by King James?
I don't think they were misled. I think they actually were pretty straightforward with the whole process the entire time. It helped that, you know, his agent had a podcast that they were talking about this the entire process. But basically let the teams know, hey, make us your pitch and we'll get back to you. And it's sort of interesting to me how LeBron James lets everybody else know what his plans are, even the teams that are wanting to sign him. You know, these teams leave a roster spot open and eventually they you get to a point where you said, all right, are you coming or are you not? And these organizations, just like all of us kind of watching this play out, are just sort of waiting for LeBron James to make his announcement. So I do think that the Heat had a chance, right? Like, both things could be true. They had a chance. I think they were a legitimate finalist. I think LeBron James gave them some legitimate consideration, but ultimately just picked to go somewhere else.
Is there anything with the relationship between him and Pat Riley? I know it was presented recently that all was good there, right? The key is under the doormat, but in the 11th hour was like LeBron, like, you know, I know how that ended between Pat and I, so maybe you don't want to go back to South Beach because of that.
Yeah, I can't say whether or not that actually mattered for LeBron James, but I did find it interesting that when Rich Paul was talking about Miami after LeBron had made his decision, that he said, like, look, he did consider them. And there was even a point where Rich Paul thought that he was going to end up playing for the Heat again. But at the end of the day, he decided that he wanted to kind of leave his Heat tenure as his Heat tenure and just not taint it, kind of leave it as what it was and not come back. You know, there was no feeling of unfinished business. And I thought about that when Rich Paul said that. I thought immediately about Giannis and his reasoning for changing his number from 34 to 7. And the reason he gave for that was, well, I was 34. That was its own thing. That has its own legacy. And that's maybe an underrated thing that, like, normies like me don't really understand among superstar athletes, is the legacy, the storytelling, the myth building of all of this stuff, and what these even sort of like just sentimental things mean to them, right? Like, for Giannis, just that was an important thing for him to close the chapter from 34 and start a new one with 7. And I think for LeBron, he looked at, look, I don't want to continue that Miami Heat chapter. I did that. I accomplished 2 championships there. What more is there left for me to do in Miami? I kind of want to start this new thing in Philadelphia.
And Wes, we heard all the variables, his kids, and they're comfortable on the West Coast, and they love L.A., and okay, well, go to Cleveland like you did before, your hometown. Like, everything that we were actually, the media was talking about with LeBron, does it seem as if he's, you know, ring chasing? Because is he on the best roster to go and compete for a championship? And is that what the ultimate thing was with his decision in your mind?
Yeah, I think he is ring chasing. And I think that's fine. I think that has like a negative connotation. But all of us talk about, what do we talk about all the time? We talk about rings. We talk about LeBron James, Michael Jordan, Steph Curry, all these guys. We talk about rings. And so we hold these guys to a standard of championships is the end all be all. And then when they acknowledge that with a major decision, then we criticize them for doing that. It's sort of this funny thing. I think he's ring chasing. I think that matters. I think he said it. You know, I don't think that I'm, you know, it doesn't require any reporting. He said it in his tweet. He's like, this is the spot that I think can give myself the best chance to win. Now, I disagree. I still think the Miami Heat were the better option. I think the Heat gave him a better chance to win than the Sixers. But also, LeBron James has been right 100% of the time he's made a decision like this. Every place he's gone, he's won a championship. And so I defer to LeBron James at this stage. Like, he's got a knack for making these decisions. So, yeah, I do think that he made this decision to win a championship, but I don't have a problem with it.
Wes Goldberg here with us. Why do you think still that the Heat would have been a better destination for LeBron to win a championship than the Sixers?
Best player, best coach. That's it. I think with LeBron, he's so capable of lifting so many ships. I think we saw this with the Lakers winning that series against the Houston Rockets, right? Like, that team was just not as good as Houston, and yet LeBron James was the best player in that series. I just don't think that Philadelphia has that number one option. I really like Tyrese Maxey. I think that's I think that's their best player right now. I don't think it's Jaylen Brown. I don't think it's Joel Embiid. I don't think it's LeBron. I think Maxey is. I think there's a lot of depth on that team. I just don't know, when you're going head-to-head against some of the best teams in the NBA, if you're going up against Wemby, Jokic, Shea, that's when I have my questions about who's raising their game to that level. And Miami has that guy. They have Giannis. They're not as deep. I get it. But they have the best coach, who is a playoff performing coach. They have the best player in Giannis. And I do think they have a front office ultimately that would have figured it out. And a defense that would have been able to cover up for LeBron James. Because I have also major questions about that defense with the Sixers. LeBron is going to be, he's going to have to guard every single night. And that was not going to be the case had he come to Miami. But like I said, that's my take as somebody who is close to the Miami Heat, covers the team, and is here in Miami. And LeBron James, like, he's been right every single time he's made this decision. So I could totally be wrong here.
No pun intended when I ask this question this particular way, but what is the pivot for the Miami Heat? no LeBron, what is next for how they address some of the holes that they still have on the roster?
Yeah, so I think if there's a silver lining here is that it kind of cleans up the goals here if you're the Heat, right? LeBron James going to be 42 when the season starts. That's a different kind of timeline now that you're operating in, right? As Philadelphia is going to learn here, you are going to be under pressure during this two-year window. The Heat don't really have that pressure. They want to win now, but Giannis is 31. He's still in his peak. I know people debate that, but this guy was playing at an MVP level in January, right? Like, this was only a few months ago. This guy is not washed by any stretch. So, you know, I think if you look at some of the other options there, you're just looking at people who I think just fit a Giannis team. Whereas if you had LeBron, you're looking for guys who fit a LeBron and Giannis team. And a lot of those guys are duplicative and it doesn't really matter, but not all of them are. Barry Jackson from the Herald is reporting that Klay Thompson is still near the top of their list. You're going to wait to see if he negotiates that buyout. The Heat have a portion of their mid-level exception now that they had earmarked for LeBron James. Now, somebody like Klay Thompson or maybe another player that's out there that is perhaps thinking about negotiating a buyout with his current team is looking at that and saying, well, I thought those $7 million were going to go to LeBron. Maybe now I can walk into those $7 million. So it clears things up not only for the Heat, but for other potential free agents, whether that's Klay Thompson or somebody else. So I think they wait on that. I think DeMar DeRozan is definitely a name worth monitoring here. Maybe not as a LeBron pivot, but almost as like a replacement to backfill what you're losing with Jaime Jaquez Jr., who went out in that Giannis trade. Just that I can come off the bench and score. Pat Riley has talked about the need for a guy who can go get a bucket at the end of a shot clock or at the end of the game. DeRozan is not a lot of things at this stage of his career. He still is a guy who can go get you a bucket when you kind of have to throw the grenade at somebody at the end of a shot clock. He can convert on that. So I think those are the names that are out there, and then they're going to have to go get another big. But yeah, I think really the ultimate pivot is let's just be a Giannis and Bam team and see how far those guys can take us.
Hey, Wes, is DeRozan, Beal, and Clay. Those are the names that come up every time I look it up. Like, what's the perfect case scenario? Because I love Bradley Beal. I don't know if he's too old. DeRozan, I'm not a big fan of the midi committing because all he's going to do is shoot twos all game. But if he can hit all his twos, we're good to go. Best case scenario, Pat could land DeRozan, Beal, or Clay.
If you're going to pick one of those, I've come around to DeRozan. I think he just fills a need. This is a guy who can run pick and roll for you with Giannis. He can. He's not an elite playmaker, but he's certainly capable of it. And he just gives them a skill set that nobody else has. Giannis is not a mid-range shooter. Bam takes mid-range shots, but only because he's really forced to. He's not a great one. DeRozan's still a great mid-range shooter. And the Heat are going to be a physical, eat-up space type of they're going to thrive in transition. They're going to do all these things. DeRozan is good in all of those instances, not great in transition, but can trail those transition plays and kind of bail you out at the end of a shot clock. I think that's a good option. And then obviously, if you can get Klay Thompson, if you can get Klay and DeRozan, I think that makes a lot of sense because it fills two very separate needs. Because the other thing this team needs is a floor spacer. They have good shooters. There's a difference between being a good shooter and being a spacer. Those are two different things in the NBA. A spacer is somebody who commands respect from the very start of the shot clock. A shooter is just somebody who can convert a shot. Klay is a spacer, like a number one, like we cannot leave this guy alone. And I think the ripple effects that has for guys like Giannis and Bam to help open things up for them would be really helpful. But Tim Hardaway Jr. also provides some of that too. But so I would go, if I had to rank them, I would say DeRozan number one, Klay number two. If you can get both of them, great. I'm not as big of a fan of Beal. I like his game. I think the injury concerns are just too big for me when you compare those to the other guys.
Wes Goldberg here with us. I don't think this is a team this year that wins a championship, but not debating the ceiling. How about the floor? Because I find it fascinating after missing out on LeBron. There's people that are talking about the Heat, and I get it. The East is better now than it was last year as a play-in team. Like, what is the floor for this team? Because I got to imagine getting Giannis here, as long as he's healthy with Bam, they got to be out of that play-in tournament, right?
It's the expectation. It's the goal. I think a play-in appearance, barring anything crazy, like Giannis misses 50 games or something and you still make the play-in, I think the play-in tournament is a disappointment, right? Like, if you make all these moves and you're still sort of where you were, that's a disappointment. Now, I'll say this, though. There's a lot of teams that are thinking the same way as Miami in the Eastern Conference. There's only six just auto bids to the playoffs, right? Everybody else has either got to fight through the play-in or you don't even make it that far. I counted it this morning, guys. I think there's nine teams who, if you ask those fan bases right now, they're like, oh yeah, no, we're definitely one of the top six teams. We're not going to be a play-in team. There's going to be nine teams. That means three of those teams are going to end up in the play-in tournament probably. If you think about Detroit, New York, Boston, Cleveland, Toronto, assuming that they get Kawhi, Atlanta, Philadelphia now, obviously, Miami, Indiana's going to be back in the mix. Orlando is hoping to get this little bump from their new head coach. That's nine teams right there that if you ask their fans, if you ask them, they're like, oh yeah, no, we're going to be, we're thinking about home court in the first round. We're not thinking about the play-in. Like, that's our goal. Three of those teams are going to be disappointed.
Wes Goldberg here with us. When the news came out that on Friday that it was Philadelphia, were you surprised by it? Because as someone that's sitting here in New York, I never bought the Cleveland stuff in the last week and a half, and the pendulum, it kept on looking like it was shifting to Miami. How surprised were you when the news came out that it was Philly?
Shocked. I had to do the same thing that everybody did with the Luka trade. I'm like, is this a fake Shams tweet? Because I got the Shams tweet before I saw LeBron. For some reason, I didn't have my LeBron notifications on. That was stupid of me. But I went back, and then I saw LeBron's Twitter thread. I'm like, oh, this is legit, right? And I did not think Philly was really in the mix. But, you know, it was notable that Philadelphia was never out of it, right? The way that Minnesota and Denver and these other teams were kind of in it and then fell out of the reporting and stuff. Philadelphia was always reportedly in the mix, and we see obviously why here. But then the more I thought about it, the more it does make sense. Like, Zach, he can live near you, right? He can live in New York. And still, we heard Rich
Paul say, J.J. Redick plan. J.J. lived in Brooklyn and would just live in Philadelphia.
Well, like, we know how that went over with Philly fans, right? They kind of resented J.J. Redick for doing that. But, you know, J.J. Redick and LeBron are two different cats. I guess you don't necessarily hold LeBron to the same type of standards there. But, yeah, I know Rich Paul said that, hey, it would have been the Knicks if the Knicks didn't win the championship. I should have, like, to me, that was maybe the most obvious thing of all that nobody was really talking about is, oh, he could just train ride, not that he would take the train, but like he's going to take a helicopter basically between from New York to Philly. Like, this allows him to kind of live where he wants. He has roots in Los Angeles. Now he can put roots down in New York if he wants, and that makes a lot of sense for him too.
And is
Wes earlier in the show?
Guys are like,
I'm going to say it's the best roster he's
in the park. Jeez,
yeah. It's the best, yeah. Me and Appella running around fighting for a question.
Sniffing
the best
butts.
Roster, the best roster in the NBA. Maxi, VJ, Embiid when he's healthy, LeBron, and now Jaylen Brown. Isn't that the best starting five in the entire NBA right now?
It's a good question. Denver still has a great starting five. People just like don't count the Nuggets because they had such a disappointing year. Jokic might still be the best player in the world. Jamal Murray was all NBA last year. I like their upside on that starting five more than Philly's, you know? My biggest question with this, I think the Sixers are up there. I think they have one of the best starting fives in the league. I'd have to think about that a little bit more, Channing, but I still, the thing that I keep, gives me just like this queasy feeling is, do we really think Joel Embiid is going to be out there? And when he is out there, what kind of Joel Embiid are we getting? Because it was very up and down last season for Embiid when he was out there. And that's why ultimately, I can't go all in on Philly's championship ceiling is because I, as deep as they are and everything that they've added to that roster, they still need Joel Embiid to stay healthy for four playoff series, or at least be available at the very end. And I don't know how you count on him to do that.
Wes, earlier in the show, we were talking about Brad Stevens and the Celtics offseason, and Gelb has hosted shows up there in Boston, and locally he's catching some heat. But from my view, it seems like he's kind of skating nationally for the offseason that the Celtics have had. They don't get Giannis. Then Jaylen Brown goes to Philadelphia, and in a way that kind of engineers LeBron going to Philadelphia. How do you evaluate kind of what Brad Stevens has done this offseason and where the Celtics are at?
Yeah, you're speaking my language. I'm like leading the Brad Stevens is overrated committee. You know, I always joke all the time, like, oh, coaching was too hard for him. That's actually why he left, and he just went into the front office. But
you're not wrong. It was in the NBA. He didn't want to deal with the backlash anymore, and he kind of want to be out of sight, out of mind.
Right, and like the guy drew up like a couple of nice out-of-bounds plays, and we're like, oh, this is the next Red Auerbach. It's like, can we calm down on this a little bit? It's congrats on your success at Butler. Anyway, not just, Josh, to your point, not just this offseason, I would argue if you look at the way that roster is completely dissolved since they won the championship 2024, I mean, that is not long ago, guys, really. And you think about that roster they had in 2024, and I understand Tatum had the Achilles injury. I get it. But everything from that roster, which we were talking about after those finals, we all remember it, like how many more can Boston win? Like that was the conversation we were having back then. And they haven't made it back to the Eastern Conference Finals since then. And you look at the talent that they've lost and what they have really to show for it. They trade away Kristaps Porzingis. They trade away Jrue Holiday. They let Luke Kornet walk, who was a really important part of that team. Then the Jaylen Brown trade and what and like the lack of really anything that they got for him and the weird way that that all played out. You could argue that they really bungled what could have been maybe a dynasty here. And there is no guarantee, by the way, that the Celtics ever get back to where they were. That is a really hard thing to do. We saw how hard it was for them to get to it in 2024 and all the disappointment that they had. Whether it was the Heat or the Warriors that they had to face and couldn't get over the hump. Does Tatum ever win another championship? Again, that sounds crazy considering where we, what we were talking about regarding the Celtics in 2024. And now I just don't see a very good roster in Boston. I think it's a very middling roster right now. There'll be a playoff team. I'm confident in that. But making it out of the East, I don't know. I think they do deserve quite a bit of criticism for how this whole thing has been handled.
He's Wes Goldberg, Locked On Heat. Wes, appreciate the time. Thanks so much for doing this.
Thanks, guys.
So everybody's been raving about this top movie that's out right now. Everybody's been raving about it, and it's exciting. It's what exciting.
Movie? Oh.
Yeah. Giannis is behind the scenes all access. First day with the Miami Heat.
What, I heard it should be an Emmy.
Oscar. What a piece of art this was, Vlad. I mean, it's, what a piece of art.
Really, now?
It was, oh. I mean, look, it would have been nice to get LeBron James. It would have been cool. But I got to tell you, this charming Greek freak, every time he opens his mouth, I'm so fired up for the season. Like, he is hypnotizing and how he gets you excited for it. And you could tell Spo is smitten. I mean, Spo is absolutely smitten with having Giannis here. So like they're sitting there at the gym and I mean, it takes you through his whole first day. It's really, really great. And so Spo like goes to him and he like looks at Giannis and he like sees him in the Heat gear. He goes, that right there, that's good. That looks good. And then, you know, Spo starts talking about his expectations. I'm going to see if this sounds all right on radio because there's a little music in the background, but it was goosey.
That looks good.
He said he needed this new life.
You know, we need the ship, too. We've been under the radar for 4 years. We've had huge expectations, but it's all been internal. Like, there's been no pressure. If we lose, it's okay. Like, now there's going to be pressure. We need that, too. Like, that's what you're bringing.
I need it, too. I need it, too. You have to feel like your life is depending on this, because you are going to do everything possible to win. You know, and I haven't had that feeling for a long time, and I feel like now I have it. I don't care how it works, what happens, I'm happy that I'm having this feeling. Like even today, working out with you guys, I'm trying to figure you guys out. I haven't had that in a long time, for 13 years. Like I knew who I was working with. I knew them, I knew everybody. You know, I need that pressure. I need it. I need it. I like it.
Oh, wow. What a time, dude. What a time to be alive, huh? What a time to be alive.
You know what you're equivalent to?
What?
Zeus.
What do you mean?
Zeus is acting up, running around the house. I say, you want a treat? He sits.
That's ridiculous.
Like you get.
It's like Zeus here.
You're telling me that's not Goosey's worthy?
Huh?
You're telling me that's not Goosey's worthy? I mean, at Spo. He's so happy.
They're both happy.
Yeah, they are, aren't they?
It's the new car smell.
Exactly.
It's new car smell. You got that new car.
Good. It smells good.
You know what?
Right. Like it's a new car smell. That's it. Like you wait till we get some stress. You ain't got no stress yet.
Look how happy he is.
I know. He should be happy.
Look how happy.
He should be happy. I'm happy.
Look at him right now with his current state of Miami sports, except for the Marlins. But they did win yesterday.
Here's the thing.
Halfley's new.
Here's the deal.
New head coach in Dolphins. Anything Halfley says now is going to be gospel.
Can I tell you what I like about that conversation?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Giannis is not going to all of a sudden, if you don't give him what he wants, say, I've lost my joy. He's not going to get in a situation like that. Right? I believe that. I mean, everywhere Jimmy has gone, it ended like it did here. But I don't get that feeling with Giannis. Oh. I think the things that he's saying – He really believes those things.
Glad you brought that up, because there was a point in the video, because this was, I mean, people talk about the Odyssey. This,
do you see the difference when we talk about things?
What are you talking about?
Right? People talk about Odyssey. Please continue that sentence.
You talk about, like, this was nothing that has to do with actual.
It was the greatest.
What we talk about on a daily basis. You talk about the other stuff.
Dude, it was the greatest 23 minutes of film I've ever seen in my life. Behind the scenes, Giannis's YouTube page. It was so good. And then there was one point where he gave him a gift basket, but the gift basket was in like a pot and pan, you know, to bang for a championship. He goes, "I can't do that yet." And I was like, "Oh, that's goosey."
Because he doesn't know how to cook.
No, because he doesn't want to jinx the championship. You got to win it first.
No,
it has nothing to do with cooking. No, it has nothing to do with cooking. They gave him the pots and pans because that's what we do to celebrate.
If they offered me a grill when I got here, what would you think I'm going to do?
He understood, correct?
He understood. Well, they told him the lore of it. He goes, "Well, I can't touch that yet." And I was like, "Oh, that's good." And then
it's not the Stanley Cup.
Oh, it kind of is for Miami. It is the Stanley Cup.
Hold on. I know what you're about to do right now.
Vlad.
Wait. No. Leroy, you don't know what he's about to get into. Because I you know, I subscribe and comment and like the Tobin channel on YouTube, mm-hmm. which everybody should go and do. Go like, subscribe, comment.
Thank you.
And hype.
You don't know what I'm going to do, though.
Oh, I know.
No, I don't think you know what you're
doing. Oh, I know.
There's so many things I could go to. There's so many things I could go to.
Because the one person that you love so much that disappointed you last season got a chance.
Disappointed himself.
Oh, he doesn't. But yeah, but you had to take that. You had to take the brunt.
I had to take it on the chin.
But now look at you now. After we all thought,
what a time.
Oh, you saw your way. You saw the error in your way. Well, oh, no.
I didn't think it was my now, error.
Somebody else with an accent? No,
somebody. What is Leroy and Jay Fig? What does Tobin love more than an accent?
No, it's
two accents.
Two accents.
An accent, do-si-do.
And now,
but before that. They
has Giannis met Nico yet?
That's what about to happen. That's what I'm getting at.
I'm gonna get to that. But also in the gift basket, before I just wrap this up, in the gift pot, they gave him a beach towel. And Giannis is like, "Oh, a beach towel." He goes, "But no time for that this year. All hoops." And I was like, "Oh, you know what that means? It's locked in, dude."
No, you know what that means. You know what that means. He's a professional, and he's gonna say the right things.
In, dude.
He's a professional. He's gonna say the right things.
No. Okay, he's not going to the beach. He's not going to the beach.
Let me catch him on that beach.
You will not see Giannis at the beach this year. You will not see Giannis on the beach this year. Okay.
Really?
That's it. Sorry. Okay. No beach for Giannis.
No wonder he hurt his back. He's always horny.
No Hollover beach for Giannis this year.
What's wrong with you?
What?
Oh my God.
But Vlad was correct, because this what we just saw last night, I was a little disappointed because you didn't respond to me yesterday, and as a true friend you should have, because what I saw yesterday may have been the most important conversation in Heat history.
In Heat history?
It could have been.
Wait a minute.
Not the big three.
It could. That was good, but
not convincing Shaq.
Here's the thing. We all knew LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh were going to be good. There was no mystery. All right? So they could have talked. They could have not talked. Not that big a deal. But Giannis doing what he did yesterday, day one on the job, is he sought out a young Serbian, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, off a down year.
We just got paid, by the way.
And he just decided to lift him up. He decided to take him on his giant Greek shoulders, all right, and was the wind beneath Jovic's wings. Because he really decided, hey, I like what I'm seeing from you.
So let me see if I can get this straight. Mm-hmm. Me having a problem with this is why I'm a yum yucker.
Why do you have a problem with it?
It's you being you. You don't think you're Ryan Clark in it?
What?
Wait. Why? Let's not use RC's name. Come on, man.
What do you mean?
I like RC.
Yeah, but
what do you like?
That's not.
I mean, going
he's
too
having fun.
That's why overdoing it. Outside.
Overdoing
minus
it.
-1.
I'm not overdoing it. I'm not overdoing it.
Okay.
I'm not overdoing it.
Okay.
So what was going on with him and Nico?
So he sought him out in the weight room, mm-hmm. right? And he goes and he sees Jovic, dude, right? And he just lets him know. He goes, "Hey, I've been watching.
You were playing good. She translates very well in the NBA too. The first couple of weeks, months of the season, the space will be so much open, and the decision will be way easier for you.
The World Cup,
So we were on that staff, like,
oh, you 3 years ago. You are the head coach of the USC.
Yeah, yeah. No pressure at all.
I can't talk. I'm excited, bro. I'm excited to see you, man. Good to see you. Good to see you.
Oh, yo, saw the Giannis?
Yeah, dude, 6'11". I'm a big boy. And well, dude, hey.
To me, he was only 5'3", because he was sitting on
the
bench.
He likes to play small. But here's the thing. You know, there's only now we know there are two people who have been watching Serbia. That's right, Jennifer. Dramatic zoom in.
Well, there's I only wasn't been even trying here.
Now we know. That was crazy.
Let cue the music.
That was
like, what do you
now,
what is going on?
Now we know.
Look at the melon on that girl.
Yeah.
Holy smoke.
Damn. That's messed up. Wow.
It's cool. Look how big it is compared to ours.
Yo. Yeah. That's a mind
out. Zoom out. There you go.
There we go.
Minus one.
That's don't it. Make me stand next to you, boy.
Listen.
She's going to make you 4'2" now.
Yeah,
now,
I know. Now we know there have been two people watching Serbia in the World Cup qualifiers. Me and Giannis. He was watching them.
Wait, hold on.
He
hold
was
on.
Watching.
Hold on, Leroy.
He got that subscription.
You think Giannis had to pay for a subscription, or it's just naturally wherever he is in Greece or in Europe?
I don't know. I don't know how that works.
But he's not paying for a subscription and getting
you don't know that.
Lied to.
You don't know that.
How, he probably
you
know, does.
No, he doesn't have the zone.
You don't know that he doesn't have.
He doesn't
the zone.
Have the zone.
You don't know
Serbia.
That he doesn't have the zone.
He doesn't have the zone, Serbia.
Let's add it to the list of questions you're gonna ask.
I'm not asking him that. That's a waste of a question. We all know he saw the game. Regardless, he saw the game.
Okay, he saw the game. And
can I just tell you?
And he decided to lift Jovic up.
If it was somebody here, like, he would be like, ain't no way in hell he watched that.
No, dude, I'm telling you right now, okay. The fact that he sought him out, okay. Says, hey, big fella, you saw how you playing with the Joker.
And could it just be he meant to say heard and it didn't translate?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Nope. Why would he lie?
Because I have a hard time believing that Giannis in all of his travels stopped to watch Euro basketball.
Why? I think Spoh like Cougars.
Why?
Okay.
Spoh likes Cougars.
He likes him older.
Yeah, you saw that? Like
he likes him older.
The look, the joy he had talking to Giannis, I don't think Kalel saw a smile.
I don't
like
think
that
Spoh likes the drama and the ups and downs of young players.
I'm telling you, dude.
He was young.
I know.
I'm telling you.
I know.
He was. He was with way too big suits. They were really big.
They
were those Spoh suits
those
were big.
Oh, man.
I think they were Riley hand-me-downs.
They no were way.
I think so, dude.
You
I think
can't
they
say that.
I think they were.
Oh, Papa, can I have your suits?
I think he's like, hey, take this to the tail. Dude, I'm telling you, I think this was one of the biggest conversations in Heat history.
Wait, stop. Okay.
I really do. I think he just fixed Jovic, hold on. Jovic hasn't had anybody backing him like that since Jimmy, okay? Jimmy, when he was going to the G League.
So 1 year?
Yeah. A whole year of nobody giving him that. You need a little fluff in your feathers sometimes. You do. And I think that having somebody of Giannis's ilk give him that kind of encouragement, you can just see the smile on his face. He's easy to read.
He said you need a little fluff in your
feathers. A little fluff in your feathers.
And I was thinking of the Limu Emu. Give me the ball. And then just reach over and pull a tennis ball from his
Limu
Emu. And Doug. No, you never saw the commercial where they're playing tennis.
I've seen that one.
And he goes, Limu, give me a ball.
Pops it out.
Point.
How do they keep those balls up the shorts?
Witcher.
Huh? Hey, yo.
The tennis players.
They're
the size.
Mm. Like a pouch?
It's a pocket, yeah.
Oh, it's a pocket?
It's a pocket.
I always thought it was like up there.
No. They don't tuck them. There's a pocket.
I thought they tucked them.
No.
This is a fantastic conversation.
The girls tuck them sometimes in their because you know they have a little shorts.
They got the squirt.
The squirt.
Squirt.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got you.
But.
Dude.
What?
That was a big deal.
You think that conversation is the biggest conversation?
That's a big deal. It's a big deal.
What do you rank it in top conversations in Heat history?
All right. Maybe strong.
Why not? We're here.
But if we were really to rank the conversations in Heat history, okay, let's go. Number one, Mickey Arison convincing Pat Riley to come to the Heat. Okay.
That's number one.
Number one.
Okay.
Number two. Dwayne Wade, LeBron James, Chris Bosh in a hotel room on Team USA.
What about Shaq?
Didn't really have a conversation with Shaq. Shaq just wanted to be here. Okay. It's not moves. Like, we're talking conversations, Leroy.
conversations. That's what we're talking about. All right. We have Goran Dragic smacking Ben Simmons upside the head. That was just a, that was a conversation with his fist. And then we have Giannis Antetokounmpo seeking out Nikola Jovic to give him words of encouragement.
So it's in the top five.
It's in the top five.
Okay.
It's in the top five.
I got you.
And Jovic, he's got a little fluff in his feathers now, dude. I'm telling you, this is going to be the year he bounces back. I'm telling you. I'm telling you.
You know, one month in the season.
This is his fourth year or third year?
Third.
Fifth.
Fifth? Wait, what?
This is Jovic's fifth year?
Yeah.
Yo, Jeez. Tobin, come on.
23.
Mm-hmm, he's got to take the huggies off, bro.
I understand. I understand. No more, no more, no more accidents all over the place. You're right.
That's no, I thought it was maybe year three, four. Damn, it's year five.
He's young, though. He's still young. He's only 23. All right. He's had some trials.
3 years ago, he went to the nudie bar.
Yeah.
He was 20.
It was 2 years ago. Oh. Yeah, no, you, yeah.
No,
3 years
he
ago.
He was 21.
Yeah.
Han?
Yeah.
Han.
He hasn't smiled like that since Han. Look at him. Look at him. Look at Giannis and look at him. Look at
that's when he was balling.
So wait a minute. So what you're saying, once he sees hot chicks in the game, his smile just shows up.
Exactly, dude. Exactly.
He saw the hottest chick in the game and he just started to smile.
I'm the hottest chick in the game right now, man.
I can't believe he's taller than Giannis.
Shut up. No, Giannis 6'10", right? 6'10", Giannis?
That looks more than an inch, dude. I ain't going to lie.
I mean, it is angles. You got a short camera.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
This is an angle. This is an angle picture, Tobin.
Giannis is 6'11".
Okay. So they should be the same height.
Right. That's what I'm saying. That's why I said that, Blake.
Yeah, you know, you're right.
He's 6'10", apparently, according to
Google.
Who?
Jovic?
It's because he's got a bad
back. But you see what I'm saying? That Jovic does not look shorter than Giannis. Which brings me back to my original point.
I'm still freaked out about the Wemby pick, that he was six. He's now 6 inches taller than Khalil Ware. I don't understand that.
What, he's 7'6" now?
Yeah, he's like he keeps growing. He's a freak.
7'4". Maybe he's just been lying. I don't know why you can lie like that.
It's ridiculous. No, like I was like, wait a minute. What just happened here? Because 3 years ago you guys were kind of the same.
Josh, here's a question you can ask him. Do you think Giannis likes the D-Wade statue?
He actually mentioned the statue. He did say that. I swear to God. He mentioned the statue. He's like, is that the D-Wade statue? Gooseys. That's what he said, basically.
He did not say Gooseys. You're lying. You're lying. You're lying.
He literally said, I swear to God. This is basically.
No, you see, this is
why
we can't.
Give yourself a minus one.
This is why.
No, what did he say? What did he say?
For tomfoolery.
For sass. For lying.
Yeah. What?
Okay. He said, oh, that's D-Wade statue right there. And then he was just like, I love it. That's what he said. That's what he said.
Did he say it has angles?
He didn't have to, but he was. In fairness, he was far away.
Can
he said
I just
it.
Say this?
He
Let
was
me
far
say
away.
What Giannis was thinking.
Hmm?
I'm going to tell you what Giannis was thinking.
Hmm?
He was like, wow, D-Wade got a statue. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Don't look nothing like D-Wade, but that's cool.
He was far away, in fairness. He was in the shuttle when he was.
So it had angles?
He's going to say everything.
He's going to say everything right. He ain't going
to. He loves
it. He ain't going to badmouth D-Wade. Anything.
I don't know. I don't know. He's saying all the right things. That's why I'm saying he's very charming. Check that.
You would fold so quickly in
yeah,
this, man.
Without a doubt.
I already
he's
have.
One of the best players in the NBA. Right?
Yep.
Like, yeah, not moments,
mm-hmm.
not, you know, sometimes. Yeah, there's some people that would. Is there any team that would say, nah, we don't want Giannis?
No.
Okay.
So he doesn't have to save, you know, Sonny Bunny anymore, right?
No. He's the only way Giannis Antetokounmpo is getting back in my good graces is if he saves Sonny Bunny from a fire. All he had to do is just open that mouth and go, check that.
You know, I really can't.
You have
stand
no stand. You have no standards. You got no standards.
I have standards.
You wish you had
standards.
You are a cheap floozy.
And when I say something,
floozy.
Wait, you're a floozy.
When I say wait,
you're
and this was sucks. Let me tell you what sucks about this. When I say something beforehand, mm-hmm. I'm why you got it rain on everybody's parade? Mm-hmm. You're a yum yucker. And here we go. Mm-hmm. Like I back then, I said. Dude, if Giannis comes here, I
feel how I feel. Like I can't.
You're a whale
can't.
Hopper.
I'm not a whale hopper.
Oh, you're a whale hopper.
I wanted him as a whale. I was just tired of the song
you
and
are,
dance.
You are a whale hopper.
You're not tired of the song and dance now, are you?
You hop onto the next big whale.
Play it again.
That's crazy.
You hop onto the next big whale.
Look,
Dude, but if again, he said he was offered to Giannis the stuff. Soon as Giannis signed, he was the first, like, come on.
I was tired of the chatter. And now I have the chatter. Giannis.
Loose goose floozy.
You are.
You're the worst. You're the worst. Why? And I'm always the one that take, you know, a bunch of heat for calling him out
for
on this
fraudulence.
Nonsense. Fraudulence.
No, you know what? I was allowing. I'm like, let him have his fun, right? I'm gonna let him have his
fun. He goes too far. He
takes it too far.
Right.
Why?
That's what I'm saying. That's why I can't give him nothing.
It's a top five conversation.
If you give an inch, he gonna take 10 yards.
He doesn't even know the Tobin and Leroy. He doesn't know the isms. He doesn't know the terminology, and you're gonna say, he said goosies. Come on now.
He said goosies.
Right. Come on now.
Right.
Come on, Tobin.
English is his second language. And he went with goosies. He went with goosies as a choice.
Out of all of them, he's gonna say goosies.
He is gonna say it. Like, I'm gonna ask him that. I'm gonna ask him when we get to media day. I'm like, hey, when you first saw that jersey, did you get the goosies?
Where will I be?
You'll be next to me, I hope.
Because something I need to know.
I mean, I hope. I don't know.
No, you're the one asking.
Hey, I don't know. Why would you ask where you're going to be?
No, here's why.
You bring up the Kyle Lowry situation.
Here's why. Because when you say goosies, I'm willing to put a Kaushi on. He has no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, and then I'll just go like this. And then he'll know.
Oh my God, the embarrassment.
See why I had to ask, will I be there?
The embarrassment.
Because I have to position myself.
No, it's not. I don't think he would do that. I don't think he would do that.
No.
Mr. Professional at the Miami Heat.
No, he would. No, on radio, different.
Radio?
Yes, radio's different.
Yeah, radio's different.
And you have to understand something now.
We've brought them into the silly web.
Tobin's gotten in with him now.
Yep.
With the lizard, the frozen iguana, yeah. So he's gonna look at Tobin.
He's gonna look at Tobin and be like,
"Oh, you were the one that told me about the frozen lizards, frozen iguanas."
Mm-hmm.
He's gonna share with Tobin.
What a day!
Hey, can I just say
top five conversation? And he just
can I just say that, dude?
What
if you hit him with all?
Why?
Come on,
walk out of the room, please.
Yeah. Are you waiting for the Giannis look?
No, he's gotten it from everybody else.
No, I'm saying.
Why I get the look from Bay?
No.
Some of the stuff you talk about, I get the look.
Leroy, he's going to get a look from Giannis.
Yeah, because he don't know what the hell Goosey's
are you ready for the Giannis? You see, that was. Those type of looks. Yeah, even the one.
That was a rough one.
That started the downfall. That was stone cold, dude. The downfall of the Miami Heat. You ruined the Miami Heat.
I didn't ruin the Miami Heat.
What?
Stop saying that.
Oh, by the way.
Going Pat said, and then going to Jimmy.
Yeah, you did.
And going to Pat and say, Jimmy said.
Yeah, you were snitching.
Yeah. I'm not snitching.
Oh yeah, you were being a floozy.
He knew.
Pillow talking. You were pillow talking.
Dude, what's
wrong with
you? Right? You were basically an FBI informant.
I like to think of myself more as a therapist.
You know what?
No, you were pillow talking.
You were worse than the people that snitched on Enron.
What?
Yes. Point. Soon as you started snitching back and forth, it went straight downhill. One-legged threes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Take a break.
Yeah, that's right. Tobin is Henry Hill.
Oh, my God.
You know who that is?
Yeah, Henry
Dude
Hill.
From the Goodfellas.
I met him, too.
Yeah.
No, guess what? When I was in the league, he did a video, and the FBI would show it in everybody's locker room.
He just he randomly just walked into Fox Sports Radio one day and just knocked on the door.
So Solana, who has been pushing for LeBron for the last 2.5-3 weeks, gets on the air and he's like, all right, like we didn't need LeBron, not the end of the world. And I go, can you just be honest, Solana? Like the Heat are in a good spot. They got Giannis Antetokounmpo, still a successful offseason, but you're upset today. And for the entire show, and surprisingly, because you think Hawk would join in me in the game of whack-a-mole and just hit Solana when he's down. Hawk is agreeing with Solana. Neither one of them, they claim that neither one of them are actually upset that LeBron didn't come back to Miami.
That's a lie.
Thank you.
That's a lie.
That's why we see eye to eye, unlike those two other lies.
Actually, I think Solana was telling the truth.
Jimmy, you're gullible, all right? Let me tell you. Gullible's on the ceiling. Look up. Like, are you kidding me? Solana is the biggest Heat shill I know.
Oh, I know that.
He sat there and salivated over LeBron James for 3 weeks. We'd have people in the YouTube chat. Is there ever going to be a segment where they don't talk about LeBron James? It was over and over and over again. If they would have got him, he would have been on the air, throwing a parade, getting the pots and pans out, getting ready to go to the elbow room and get banged up. They don't get him. Oh, yeah. Everything's great. No worries. The Heat are the best team in the NBA still, according to Solana.
But I think that the multiple things can be true here, right? He would have done all of those things and thrown a big celebration and crowned the Heat as Eastern Conference and probably NBA champions if LeBron chose the Heat. But at the same time, like, anger and disappointment are different. Like, I'm not angry. I'm disappointed LeBron didn't come here. Where I object to what Solana was saying was that he's only a little bit disappointed. He's a lot of bit disappointed. And he was a little bit hesitant to admit that. So in that sense, I agree with you, Gelby. But at the same time, I mean, anger and disappointment are different. And he did say he was disappointed.
For 4 hours, he sat there. His dog, what is his dog name? Fauci, right?
Fauci.
Yeah.
He looked like his dog was just killed. Like, seriously. He had such a sad puppy dog look on his face and wouldn't just be honest and say, yeah, I'm pissed, but like the Heat are still in a good spot. I agree with him. The Heat are still in a good spot. And then it turned into the two of them trying to fight me where it's like, you don't understand. We're telling you the truth. And they're bringing up the last time LeBron. I'm like, oh, that has nothing to do with it. You both wanted him here. So for one day, you could say, hey, LeBron, he disappointed us. He made us upset and actually show some outrage and be irate for a second. And neither one of them were giving that to me. I was very disappointed.
That's ridiculous because it lowers our chances of winning a championship. And that's all it's about.
Yeah.
And you got left at the altar because you were – if the Sacramento Kings had no LeBron hope, nobody in Sacramento's upset that LeBron chose Philly because they weren't on the list. We were on the list.
And here's
the thing. We asked the pretty girl for her number, fellas, and she said, 2 seconds. Give me 2 seconds. I might give you my number.
No. She gave the Heat her number and talked to them for a little bit and then ghosted.
No, what she did, she gave the wrong number. She gave Jimmy's number. And then Jimmy's getting this smoke show, getting texts sent to her. Hey, baby, I'm thinking about you. I want to see you later tonight. We're going to go smoochy smoochy in the bedroom. That's what happened because this is my whole point the entire show, is that when push came to shove, LeBron James did not truly forgive Pat Riley. Like, we were told that relationship's good, the key's under the doormat. And Pat Riley had a little confidence to him in that Giannis and Bobby Portis press conference, talking about LeBron. This was a giant tease. And in the 11th hour, LeBron pulled the rug out from underneath Pat Riley. Because I saw that Rich Paul said that the decision came down to between the Warriors and the Sixers. This was via Game Over, that podcast he does. This is why I said all the stuff was false, all the speculation. And at the end of the day, these guys are just doing their jobs. It was a layered decision across the board between Philly and Golden State. And he just really decided on Philly, adding LeBron with his experience. Nick Nurse has a guy that he could let police the team so the guys don't turn on Nick. Like, this was between Golden State and Philly. I don't really think Miami had much of a chance.
No, and from I'm upset he's not down here. I have a 37-minute ride to Kaseya Center. I could go watch LeBron play with Giannis and Bam. I would love it. And I'm a Heat fan. I've been out here since 05. I'm a Heat fan. But now looking at him going to Philly, it solidified the fact that you said it, Gelb, early in the show. Like, it wasn't about connections or anything. LeBron said it. I'm looking at this team and saying, yeah, we can go chase one.
Yeah.
And I don't have a problem with chasing championships. That's the Kevin Durant thing. If LeBron plays two more years, LeBron goes out and wins one this year, he'll stay in Philly. I think if Philly doesn't win, he might do something with his second year option of it. But if he can go, he has two more years left, go get on two great teams, win two championships, he's caught Jordan. Like, and it's so obvious now. It's not about what I thought. I thought it was the bookend beautiful story. He gets drafted by Cleveland, kid from Cleveland, inner city guy, had to figure it out, goes to Miami, comes back to Cleveland, wins one for Cleveland, and then ends in Cleveland no matter what happens. LeBron wants to go get 5 or 6 championships. It's no question what he's doing now. He actually said it, and Rich Paul and all of them said it. The best chance of him going to get a chip is in Philly, and I actually agree because Golden State is old. Porzingis isn't going to play that much. Steph Curry is 116. Draymond Green is 116. The best situation basketball-wise is in Philly. As a Heat fan, I love Giannis Bam. Their ancillary pieces are nowhere close to what Philly has up there.
You know what? You just made a great point that I didn't think about. If the decision was really between Philadelphia and Golden State, it's even more disrespectful to the Heat. It would be one thing they lost out to Philly. The fact that Golden State he viewed better than the Heat, I'm sorry, that's a joke.
I'm not, and that's, I was about to say, I'm not sure why we're taking what Rich Paul is saying there in the aftermath as this gospel. I get, obviously, he represents LeBron, so he's the closest
because
one to this
decision.
Because
it fits into my argument, but, Appel. What are you, carrying the water for Hockman and Solana? Jeez, they don't pay you.
I'm just giving it an embrace debate, Gelb. Listen, I believe the Heat, when they're leaking out to their friends in the media down here, that they thought they were getting LeBron. I believe that. And if it's really about LeBron going and ring chasing, it did not come down to Golden State and Philadelphia. It came down to, do I want to play with Giannis or do I want to go into Philadelphia? And I think one of the points that Solana brought up on Friday was a good one. And when we talk about the comparisons to Jordan.
First time I ever heard that. Solana bringing up a good point. Oh, my God.
I know. But if LeBron goes to Philadelphia and wins a title, he becomes the first player in NBA history to win one with four different franchises. That gives him, obviously, the leg up on Jordan in that category. And if he ends up winning a second one there, then I think he's back in the conversation despite losing in the finals like Jordan didn't. And this idea, by the way, you know,
he's not getting six championships, by the way. There's maybe one more championship, to be clear.
Speaking in hypotheticals, and I want to ask Wes about this because a lot of the conversation around the Heat was, well, where is their 3-point shooting? They need shooters. And I'm not saying they don't, but I'm looking at the numbers here from last season, and I understand the rosters are different now. The Heat were a better 3-point shooting team last year than the Sixers were, numerically.
Yeah, but ultimately, Philadelphia, right, has been stuck in the second round for a while. They have Tyrese Maxey, who's a clutch client, who clearly was a factor in this. And once they got Jaylen Brown, I think LeBron looked at it and said, okay, if I go there and win a championship, that's going to be to like a level where it's, oh, I went there and won them the championship, even though he's not the best player. If he goes to Miami and win a championship, I think Giannis is still getting the majority of the credit.
And by the way, it seems like Brad Stevens is skating by here, and nobody's really talking about the terrible offseason that this dude has had. Like, so awful up there in Boston. Yeah. I feel like nobody's talking about it.
I do shows in Boston as well. I am the utility player here for Odyssey. I do shows all over the country for Odyssey on these local stations now. There's a lot of people in Boston that are not happy with Brad
Nationally,
Stevens.
Nationally, I'm saying.
No. Yeah, no, you're right on that. Because Brad's the guy that was at Butler and went to those two championship games and go to Boston, didn't win a championship as a coach, but as an executive won one. Like, everyone loves Brad Stevens, and the guy hasn't done a bad job. He's won a championship, but when you shoot to kill, you better kill. And he shot to kill to go get Giannis Antetokounmpo, and Pat got one over him. And then they knew that situation with Jaylen Brown was donezo, and that's why you look like a fool for two first-round picks, two second-round picks. And Paul George should have just hit up Houston and said, let's do the same deal, except swap out Paul George. You put Kevin Durant in there, and at least it would have been more salvageable than what he ended up doing.
I think because we're talking about LeBron trying to go back home or LeBron trying to play with Steph and run the Olympic team back and all the narrative we've seen, the best fit, even as a Heat fan, fellas, the best fit to win basketball games, LeBron decided upon, is playing with Maxey, Ed Combe, Jaylen Brown, and Joel Embiid in Philly. The best chance of him getting another ring was up there. I don't know how y'all feel about it. I think Giannis and Bam can compete, but it now is we're talking about Tim Hardaway and Davion Mitchell. They're not competing with Ed Combe and Jaylen Brown.
Well, I think the best chance for him to win a championship out of those teams was Philadelphia. Where he was needed the most, though, was in Miami. They needed someone in that backcourt to hold that basketball. So I think that's a slight difference. But yes, if they
Was he trying to help the Heat organization or help himself?
No, he's trying to help himself.
With you.
Yes, he's trying to help himself. Yeah.
He could have been the point four for the Heat all day long. He's not going to be the first option at all anywhere he goes. But I think he can help that young team in Philly way more than he can help the Heat. And I'm a Heat fan. I'm sorry on the text line if y'all get me, you know, get mad at me. He has a better chance of winning a championship in Philly than he did in Miami.
Could we all laugh at one thing, though? Jaylen Brown wanted to be the number one somewhere. Maxie's better. LeBron's better. When Embiid's healthy, he's better. Oh, my God. Jaylen Brown, what are you doing, buddy?
The only person that I think Crowder can say he has better knees than in 2026 in amongst all athletes is probably Joel Embiid. So I think we're glossing over that here.
That's a good point.
With the health of Joel Embiid, what does that look like without him? Are they still the title contenders they are with him? I would probably say not. So I don't know how much that weighed into his decision either. But that feels like a pretty glaring area that they've got to keep an eye on this season. Obviously,
LeBron's they could win. They could win 50 without Joel Embiid. Let him heal up and just put him in the playoffs and cut him loose. They're so talented. That's crazy talent on that team.